After the earthquake and tsunami, people in northern Japan are working to find some sense of normal.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. That is the sound of Sendai, Japan. Heavy machinery and helicopters are moving the big items nature tossed around nearly a week ago. Thousands of residents in northern Japan are picking up the pieces from last Friday's disastrous quake and tsunami. We're following those stories of the human and economic tragedy, and Marketplace's Rob Schmitz is with us now, fresh from his trip to Sendai earlier today. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Steve.
What did you see there? I mean, have they made any progress in that area?
Well, they've still got a lot of work to do. I've never seen anything like this. I visited a neighborhood completely washed away by a 30-foot-high surge of ocean water. I saw houses upside down, cars on top of each other, and then beneath all of this are telephone poles, lumber, electric wire. And then if you look even closer, you start to see household objects, plates, vacuum cleaners, a Sony PlayStation. I saw a child's half-finished homework, and it was all strewn about, stuck in thick mud. It was just an incredibly sad scene that reminds you that families lived and died here.
And we've seen the video, obviously, of all of that, and thank you for detailing that, because that's, my goodness, that's something so harsh. But how is the local economy there, Rob, faring nearly a week after this earthquake?
Still barely functioning. When we drove into Sendai today, we saw lines a mile long at gas stations, lines of people outside any place that had food. Evacuation centers are running low on food and supplies. It's clear the supply chain is still broken here. An older gentleman named Rikyo Yamano was my taxi driver today. His taxi runs on natural gas, something that's more plentiful now than gasoline, but he was still having problems. Here's Rikyo.
Tada asa no 6時 kara narande 2時半 sugi desu ne.
Here he's telling me that each day since the quake, he lines up at the natural gas filling station at 6 in the morning. He says he usually gets to fill up his tank at around 2:30 in the afternoon. So Sendai's economy clearly still has problems, and the weather today certainly didn't help. Mr. Yamano was pretty close to getting us into an accident a few times today. That's because we were driving on mountain roads in a snowstorm. So first you had the quake, then the tsunami, then the radiation release, and now a rather large snowstorm, all contributing to a standstill for the local economy here.
So many things happening over there. All right, Marketplace's Rob Schmitz in Japan. Rob, thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
And in the wake of the disaster and aftermath, the Japanese yen continues to soar against the U.S. dollar. The yen closed at its highest level since World War II against the dollar, and that could have big effects for the world economy. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
No one can yet say for sure what lies behind the yen's sharp rise. Some analysts say that Japanese insurance companies may have caused it. Faced with huge claims, they're selling their investments in the US and Europe and bringing the money home. The rising yen is mostly bad for Japan, making the country's exports more expensive. But the US could suffer too. Steen Jacobson is with the Saxo Bank. He says if we are seeing the Japanese taking their money home, this could hit the American government's finances.
It will leave a hole in the global recycling of capital. You can say that Japan and China has been paying for the deficit of the U.S. and of Europe. And if they stop recycling capital into this market, it leaves an empty hole which needs to be filled.
And how do you fill that hole? By pushing up U.S. interest rates and by cutting U.S. government spending sharply, which could hit American growth. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Shares in Tokyo sank again today. The Nikkei was down about 1%, a little bit more than that, actually. Other Asian markets were off as well. A half dozen more banks are paying their bailout money back to Uncle Sam. That means the U.S. government's gotten nearly all of its bank bailout money back. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow tanked again, down more than 2%, 242 points to close at 11,613. That's the biggest drop since last August. And the Dow now is about where it was at the beginning of this year.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the knowledge effect. and by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. For the latest business news, go to marketplace.org and click on the newsletters tab to get business and economic news delivered to you daily, right now to your inbox.
A year ago, CBS was thinking it was going to take a bath on the NCAA basketball tournament. The network was expecting to lose $200 million or more a year. They even considered paying ESPN to take the tournament off their hands altogether. But fortunes have changed lately, and new technology plus a cable deal have made CBS's coverage a slam dunk. Here's Marketplace's Steve Henn.
Mark Gannis runs the Chicago consulting firm Sports Corp. He says if CBS lost March Madness, it would have been devastating.
This is one of their marquee events. If this was lost, it would have had a very negative effect on the entire broadcasting company.
So the network looked for ways to expand the tourney's reach. It cut a deal with Turner Broadcasting to split the costs and increase the number of cable channels carrying games. And last year, CBS started streaming all the games online for free.
And the viewership was enormous. And they sold advertising for it, and they still had the in-game advertising. It turned out to be a real winner because most of the people who watched it on their computers were at work, and so it didn't cannibalize the TV ratings at all.
You just had to keep one eye out for your boss.
There actually was a boss button on the screen, so it would pop up like a spreadsheet as soon as your boss came around.
Yeah, unfortunately, the spreadsheet was really the bracket.
Seriously? Gannis thinks streaming big sporting events to PCs, mobile phones, and iPads is set to explode. And if he's right, in a few years, we might be watching the Olympics on YouTube. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
And finally, it's a war of words between the mayors of New York State's two biggest cities. At a housing and neighborhood conference yesterday, New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg said, quote, "There's an awful lot of free space in Buffalo, New York, if you want to go there. I don't think you do." For his part, Buffalo Mayor Byron Brown said he grew up in the New York City borough of Queens and settled in Buffalo. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Memo to those with the oil. You know, for a peaceful and lasting Middle East, experts say everybody needs to share the wealth.
Saudi Arabia cannot sit on sovereign fund with $200 billion while people starving in Jordan or starving in Yemen.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Democracy doesn't come cheap. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.